Blog Talk Radio.
There's definitely no doubt about it. When I'm with you, I feel so fine. Somebody told me they heard when I'm with you. I walk around like I don't give a damn. That may be true because when I'm with you, I am feeling so fine. Girl, I'm crazy about you. The day you came into my life, turned my world around, never let me down.
Yes, indeed, baby. You are now tuned in to DJ Shine on the HILL Top Radio Show. What that is, Hilltop Mother.
Shut your mouth.
What? I was only talking about the baddest radio station on the land, you hear me?
Oh,
well, what that is?
Hilltop. Hilltop Radio show.
All right, I want to welcome everybody to the plug. It's the Plug Documentary Radio Show with yours truly, DJ Sean, and I have my tag team partner tonight is the only one and only lovely Robin Lynn, all the way from Seattle, Washington, and with Vibes Live Radio. Welcome, Robin, and excited Thursday night we got here on the Hilltop. How are you tonight?
I am doing good. I am excited, and I am ready for the show. Let's get started.
Let's get started. All right. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I want to thank everybody that was already tuned in waiting. And I want to thank everybody that's getting ready to get on board with the Plug Documentary Radio Show. That's right. We bring celebrity artists on here and we do our own documentary. You know, we're not like Unsung. We're not like VH1. We're not like Soul Train. We only Hilltop. And we really get into depth, and more important, we want to get to know who the artist is outside of the music. But we have a talented brother, my brother, a cousin, family. This is family tonight, y'all, everybody listening. And I can't, you know, my grandmother is his father, was his father's brother, Uncle Ralph, Thomas, and Uncle Ralph was a big time pastor and a recording artist as well. And we grew up listening to music, and then found out that my cousin Bruce, that's on tonight with us, is a big time artist himself. So why not open up the door and share the love, you know, for my cousin Bruce here tonight, Robin. You know, we're doing a little shift change here on Hilltop. So let's get that out of the out of everybody's system. So welcome right now to the Plug Documentary Radio Show, the one and only Bruce Thomas, man. It's a pleasure. an honor, man, to have you as family, you know, being here on the show, man. So appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule, man, and, you know, and joining me tonight here on The Plug, man. So how you doing, bro?
I'm doing real good, my man. Thank you so much for having me. I'm real excited about this.
Yeah, man. Family, you know, family is reaching out. And no, when you're having Bruce on, when you're having Brucey on, Brucey's going to be on tonight. So,
well, I really,
you know,
appreciate you having me on.
I call you Bruce. They call you Brucey. So.
Yeah, something I'm trying to get away with. They forget I'm a grown man now. but it's all in love. You know, it's all in love.
That's right. Well, man, I know you. Tell the people who Bruce Thomas is, man, out there, the ones that are out there listening.
Well, I mean, that's a difficult. It's been a long journey, and I've worn many hats, you know, during the journey. So, I started off living in Frederick, Maryland, our hometown, and from there, as a teenager, moved to the D.C. area where I grew up and had a lot of friends. As a matter of fact, it's the seed of music that was planted in Frederick was germinated. And when I moved down to, I guess, the Sea Pleasant area right outside of Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
And I met a family called the Conwards. And we had a singing group called the Durations, and we started singing in different talent shows around the area and winning those, and we were like the Jackson Five. we still keep in touch, and so from there I went to University of Maryland, got out of music, majored in microbiology because I was planning to be a dentist of all things, and then I went and saw an Al Jarreau show, and that changed everything. So I got back into music and have been on that journey ever since, you know.
And that concert of that you went to see Al Jarreau ended up being your music mentor for a whole lot of years, correct?
Yeah, he certainly was. I saw him in 78. And then later, through our friend of a friend, Ramsey Lewis had a bass player by the name of Bill Dickens that I became friends with. And I said, hey, man, do you know anybody in the D.C. area that can, because I didn't know anything about the music business. So he introduced me to a gentleman called Tony Whitfield, who's a bass player and who has released a number of CDs himself. And also now he's a music promoter. So he had performed on Al Jarreau's, he was the bass player for Gene Karn. And he had met Al at different times across the country. So then he knew I was a big Al Jarreau fan. So I met Al in like 95. That friendship lasted until his death in 2017.
How was Al Jarreau's impact on your career, Bruce?
Oh, monumental. You know, he's always been called, Time Magazine referred to him as the best jazz voice ever. And, you know, I liked his style. His style was the message was always positive. And when I finally met him, he was just, you know, his music was an extension of him. He was one of those types that when you met him, you know, the energy that he gave off, you could just feel it for like, you were on like an Al Jarreau high for like 3 or 4 days after you met him.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, but you know, and it wasn't only me because, you know, on Facebook, he has a family group run by a friend of mine, Deborah Turpin. And everyone says the same thing that ever had the opportunity to meet him. You know, he could walk into a room and light it up, and he could light you up too if you were, you know, in his presence. So Ali was the same way. Muhammad Ali, you know, certain people just give off that energy where they just and it's palpable. You can feel it. You know, when I was bodyguarding Ali, I saw there was this derelict plane on the street, you know, in Washington, okay. D.C. And Ali rolled down his window, and he said, "Hey, I can beat you. I can beat you." And the guy, you know, he just got all this energy. He got happy. Hey, champ! You know, he came over to the car. You know, I mean, he was full of vitality. And, you know, he said, well, you take care of yourself, you know. So as we drove off, I looked out the rearview mirror just to see what was going to happen. And, he, you know, you could just see the energy leave him. He just slumped down to where he was before he saw Ali. So,
mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's just something about that energy, man. You can call it charisma, call it energy. But I think it's, you know, God-given, you know.
Wow. Well, man, you've done a lot over your career, you know, your lifetime. You know, and to talk about everything that you accomplished, and you know, when we talked last week, I was still talking to my mom about it. I was like, wow. I said, I wish I'd got Bruce on a long, long time ago, because damn, he's in everything. And you know, our family, you know, we have a lot of we have a family tree that's not only a family tree, but we have a tree that's leaves are nothing but talent, you know, amongst our cousins and, you know, our distant cousins. And it's crazy, from Uncle Sonny coaching, you know, the Oakland Raiders, to, you know, Uncle Ralph being, you know, your father being a recording artist, and, you know, cousin Kevin, you know, playing football, and, you know, Jason's cousin Jason's over in Finland and got the American football started over there, and he's still there, you know, to, you know, cousin Marcus going to play professional ball overseas, basketball overseas, and, you know, football, me and, you know, and my brother. So, you know, and even to your aunt, my grandmother used to play basketball in high school and college as well. So, you know, we have that tree that's very, you know, we have a lot of leaves on there that has talent, man. And you know,
well, don't forget Will Beatty that played with the Giants.
That's right. Yep, William played with the Giants, and he got a Super Bowl ring with the Giants, and a Super Bowl ring with the Eagles. I forgot about Will. So we do have a solid you know, family tree that, you know, that has a lot of leads with successful cousins and, you know, brothers and sisters as well, man. So when did you get? I know, you know, leaving, you went to school to Maryland, and you got started in a Broadway, correct? In New York, you moved to New York. How did that go for you as, you know, kid from Maryland, you know, traveling to the North and being successful, you know, while you were, you know, in the Broadway, the theater. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, but it was always through music that it happened first. Mm-hmm. When I got out of college, I actually moved to Florida because I was selling pharmaceuticals down there. But I always wanted to, you know, to get into music. So when I moved back up to the D.C. area, I started singing, you know, going to the open mics and things like that. And there was a club in Marlow Heights called Triples.
I remember Triples.
Branch Avenue. Yeah, I was one of their regulars there. I sang in the jazz room. And you know, the players that I had with me were, you know, I mean, guys like on the bass, I had Butch Warren. These guys were much older than I was. I mean, because I was, you know, was pretty young. But Butch Warren played with the legendary people on, I forgot what label it was. But and then I played with a guy named Bertil Knox, who had been the drummer for Ella Fitzgerald and the Supremes, and, you know, like that. All of them, you know, take me under the wing and tell me, well, you don't do this, you don't do that, because all of that's gonna happen on your career. But it kind of reached a point where I was stalling. I think I was probably too young for club owners to take serious as far as trying to, you know, manage myself. And I just felt like I had reached a stalling point. So, somebody came in the triple and said, you know, you have a pretty nice voice. You should be singing in jingles. I said, how do you do that? He said, you got to get one of these. And he showed me his union card, you know. So I looked into the union and I saw where I could be in movies, like as extras and stuff like that. So I started doing that. The pay was good. I didn't have to deal with any nightclub owners trying to you know, chip me down to pay me next to nothing. And I started meeting, you know, working with and meeting celebrities and stars and stuff. So I started taking acting classes in the D.C. area, and I became one of those people, you know, that worked all the time. Soon I quit my job because I was working so often, doing TV commercials, TV shows. And so at that point, I said, well, you know, if I'm in that small circle of people who work all the time, let me, it's time to move to New York, where it really counts. And so that's what took me up, you know, took me on my journey there. And you know, there's no place like New York, you know that. I was scared to death my first year, though.
I would be
small boy from the country. And that's how I felt, man. Man, I was scared to death. The first time somebody bumped into me, I said, here we go, it's going to happen now. And the guy said, excuse me. And I'm like, okay.
Wow. Reminds you of that Stevie Wonder song, Young Man, you know, goes to,
the label for the city.
Yep, there you go.
Yeah.
So Bruce, let's do this real quick. This is a documentary radio show with yours truly, DJ Sean. We got on Robin Lynn. Hello, Robin.
Hello, Robin.
Vibe Live.
Hello. How are you doing? It's so nice to meet you.
Yeah, you too. You too. Are you? Do you work regularly with my cousin there?
Well, you know, I'm trying to keep up with them. That's what I'm trying to do.
he has a lot going on. You know, he has a lot, you know. He told me all the shows he's done and everyone he's interviewed, and I was very very proud of him when he was telling me that. He's been hardworking and has done quite a job. Very proud of him.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the both of you, I am clearly out of my league. So I'm going to do what I do best. I'm going to skin down and get butt naked. Sean, you got to tell him about me, okay? You got to let him know about me, Sean.
I'm going to let you know. Yeah. We call her, on Wednesday nights, we call her Bucket Naked, cuz.
Now, where does that name come from?
On Wednesday nights we do the Quiet Storm Love After Dark, because she always said when she's on the show that she strips down bucket. She strips down naked to listen to the show, so I just call her Bucket Naked.
Okay, well, Robin, you just let us know what stage you're on. our imaginations can keep it going.
Anything to help out. Not a problem.
That's right. See, it all runs in the family. It all runs in the family. Runs in the family. And out of the good state of Delaware, we got the one and only on the show as well, DJ Debo, man. Welcome to the show, man. Thanks for tuning in with us.
All right. All good. Pleased to meet you.
And, how you doing? Is it DJ Debo?
Yes, sir.
Oh, it's nice meeting you, brother.
Yes, sir. Likewise.
And
hey, Robin.
from the Delmarva Peninsula, and we took your music, Bruce, and mixed it up into a mega mix. And the one and only that did that is DJ Wiz out of Delmarva Peninsula. Yeah, he's on with us as well.
Hey, Bruce, how you doing?
Well, hello, DJ Wiz.
You and DJ Sean are family, huh?
Yes. Yes, we are.
Okay. Cool. I didn't know. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, it's a small world because my fiance lived in Wilmington, Delaware, too.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's from, I'm actually alone in Delaware.
Yeah.
Where?
The lower part of Delaware. You know, I'm Delaware, Maryland. Delaware is right to the Delaware line. I'm closer to Maryland. One thing is not 100 miles from me.
Oh, okay.
Hey,
I was going to chop in. Sorry about that.
He's Delmar, Bruce.
Oh,
Delmar,
okay.
Maryland line. Yeah, Delmar. You know, you got Delmar, Maryland, and Delmar, Delaware. Yeah. Yeah, that's where he's at.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, and that's DJ Wiz. He took sent him your music and mixed it together and got you a nice little mega mix. With all your music together in one collab, and we'll play it here in probably another 10-15 minutes for you here on the show, man. And again, we appreciate you taking time out of your schedule and joining me here on the Plug Documentary Radio Show, man. And let everybody know where they can follow you at on the social media outlet, bro.
Okay, well, I'm on Facebook. I have my Facebook page where, if they don't want to, I get all involved in politics there, so I, pretty opinionated, but if they don't want to deal with that, they can go to my Facebook page that is strictly just music, and I have a website that pretty much has everything up as far as what I do, recordings, that's BruceThomasMusic.com. And another platform that I'm on is called Reverb Nation. If they go to ReverbNation.com and just put Bruce Thomas, they can see, I just started writing original songs. So I have like two original singles that is on iTunes. Well, the first one is Hollywood that I wrote, and that's on iTunes and Spotify and I just am releasing what you heard earlier, So Fine, and I just was told that that's now on Deezer and Spotify, and it's just waiting to be approved for the iTunes and the other Amazon, music and stuff like that. So, but on Reverb Nation, there's close to 200 covers that I've done on there that people can stream and listen to.
All right. Well, again, man, welcome to the Plug Documentary Radio Show. Everybody out there listening, this is family. This is my cousin, Bruce Thomas. He's joining us here tonight on the Plug on Hilltop Radio Show. Bruce, you've had your hands and feet and everything in a lot of stuff, man, in the entertainment. It's, it's outside of music, a little bit like film.
Right.
You've been in True Colors, Malcolm X, Money Train, Above the Rim, Die Harder, City Hall, Kiss of Death, Two Woo Foo, Cowboy Way, Ransom, Private Parts, Conspiracy Theory, Dead Poets, to name some of those. Home Alone 2, and then on television, A Man Called Hawk, whoever remember that. You also been one of the people for America's Most Wanted, The Right Verdict, Gray Zone, man. You have a New York on the Cover, one of my favorites. You have a resume, man, that's long, man. Man, tell us how did you get into, I know you went to New York and everything, just all the doors just started opening up for you, man. And what is your favorite, the television, the film, or singing?
Well, You know, they're all different. They're all different, and each one of them has their, you know, different levels of gratification. Of course, through music, you get it immediate because you're always singing in front of an audience, usually. But the film work is just so much fun because you have so many people from all walks of life, you know, to make it. And you see, it's like being in a bizarre circus, man, you know, because you just see so many different things. I was in also, what's the movie with Hannibal Lecter? Silence of the Lambs.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, I was at that, that was about 2 weeks worth of work, and I was in Jodie Foster's FBI class. So, you know, there's a scene that opens up with her, you know,
uh-huh.
I was watching TV one night, and they had the American Film Institute had the most notorious, you know, villain in film. So the way they opened it up, it was Jodie Foster holding a punching pad, and this guy was, like, punching it like mad. You know, she was grimacing from the punches that the guy was throwing. And then I realized, hey, that's me.
Right.
So,
wow.
You know, so you have, moments like that. Then there's other films like there was a film where I called It Could Happen to You, and that was with Isaac Hayes and Jodie Foster and Nicolas Cage. And, you know, I worked on that film for so long. You know, Isaac Hayes and I became friends. You know, it's funny with film, and he told you, look, either you want to associate me professionally, you know, because you're interested in getting into the business, or you can be my friend. And he kept the two separate. And I chose to be his friend. And I'm so glad that I did, because he deals with you in an entirely different way. You know, he lets you guard down. He's truly your friend, you know. I was so disappointed when he passed away, because he's a good guy. Funny. Man, he had you cracking up all day long. But yeah, so and in the film, you know, to answer your question, how do you do it? When I moved to New York, yeah, I was one of the fortunate ones that I modeled also. I didn't send you any modeling pictures that I did while I was up there. You know, I had about probably 7 or 8 agents that I was working with. And you realize that you have to work, because you know, or you don't eat. So,
right.
So you know, at the same time, it was challenging because you have tens of thousands of people in the Big Apple who want to do what you're doing. That's why they're there. So I mean, the competition was pretty stiff. But once you got to work, oh, it just felt so good to be working. You know, so
right. Yeah, because I you know, you commercials, like the old Geico commercials back then, because, you know, what you got on, we don't wear that today.
Oh, are you looking at that picture?
Yeah, I'm looking at the Geico picture, you know, looking like,
okay,
you got your softball uniform on and stuff like that. Like, they only wear softball stuff like that no more.
you know, that was an interesting shoot, because I learned from that shoot the subliminal games that they play with us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you look at, you know, it started off that I had the glove and the ball. And the photographer said, give him the, you know, Bruce, you take the bat. Give him the glove and the ball so he can be like he's in charge, in control. So then I said, okay. And then me and the guy was, you know, the same height, and we were standing up. He said, if you notice my legs are extended out from the car, he said, slide down, Bruce. And I realized, oh, he wants him to look down on me. So he wanted him to be, a, you know, he was white, you know, and he wanted
yeah.
him to be in a position of superiority.
Right.
So that's the game that goes on, and that we don't even notice. Subconsciously, we pick it up. But unless you know what to look for in those advertisement pictures, you know, they
mm-hmm.
play a lot of games with the public at large.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, this is the this is the plug documentary radio show, and I got to bring on Doc Honeycutt from 105.3 Orange.
Hello.
Doc Honeycutt. That sounds like one of those cowboys.
Oh, how about motorcycle riders?
Like you know, like Doc Holliday, Doc Honeycutt.
She drives.
Yes.
She's a motorcycle driver. She drives motorcycle, man. Yeah.
Really? Wow.
Oh
like
yeah.
Doc Honeycutt. Wow.
Yeah.
She has a sitcom
they always
called
call me Doc Holliday. It's so funny.
Yeah, because sometimes I call her Holiday.
Okay, so we were on the same train of thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
yeah, she has a very, she has a television show called Beauties and Bikers down here in Charlotte, man. Yeah, very.
Wow.
Very popular. Very popular.
Thank
wow.
you.
Wow. Do you take off your clothes like Robin there? Or?
like Robin? Oh, Lord.
I'm just asking the bucket or whatever.
I can make it.
They don't call you Honey Cuts for nothing.
Oh, wow.
Hey,
Doc, you can tell we family, right?
Yeah.
You can tell we family.
But yeah. I'm not trying to steal Robin Lynn's title, Buck a Naked. I'm going to let her keep that.
Thank you. You're so nice. Thank you.
Oh, girl. You got it.
Right. Y'all crazy. Oh, man. Go ahead, Bruce.
Well, you got some women around you that sound like they keep you on your toes, my man.
Well, I tell you about these two, man. They trustworthy, they down to earth. I can call them real friends. You know what I'm saying? And,
yeah, wonderful.
And even if I, as they say, mess up or something like that, especially. No, both of them. They'll get me back on track, or you know, or talk to me to make sure you know that I'm straight and things like that. Something that friends, you know, should do and everything, and that makes a great teamwork. And then you know, DJ Wiz and me and DJ Wiz, we go back to the Eastern Shore, where we went
mm-hmm.
to school, at, you know, in the same town, Snow Hill. And then, I brought DJ Wiz on because, you know, we were from the same neighborhood and he believed in the, you know, the Hilltop radio show. So that's the reason why I brought him on. And then DJ Debo, I met him through DJ Wiz. So family,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? I only bring people on the show that I know that, they're real and they're going to bring something to it as much as they get out of it as well, too. So, yeah. Yeah. 10 years,
wonderful.
You know, and good people. People came and
wow.
people went, but I got a good crew, man. I really do. Yeah.
Yeah, it's
hey.
Because it's not all about me. It's about, it's not a me thing, Bruce. You know, it's a we thing. It's a us thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you got a team. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, man. Luckily I have the same supportive team. You know, I have a team of people. As I mentioned, there's Tony. I have a number of Tonys that there's Tony Whitfield that I've known for probably almost 40 years. There's Tony Dorsey, who we play live in a band together in the Baltimore and D.C. area.
Mm-hmm.
He has a band called Sounds of Delicious.
Wow.
And
you should have said that on the air with Bucket Naked on here. Sounds of Delicious.
I thought I heard a button. Was that a button I heard? Just heard pop?
Yes. No, there were two of them. Two buttons.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Two buttons. Okay.
Well, Bruce, what we're gonna do is we're gonna get into your mix, and then after we listen to your mix, man, we'll get you to talk about being Muhammad Ali's bodyguard here on The Plug.
Okay. All right,
we'll be right back. This is DJ Wiz. This is your mix, Bruce Thomas, here on Hilltop. Hope you enjoy it. Hope everybody likes it.
Yeah.
DJ Wiz.
I walk around like I don't give a damn. And maybe
Documentary, DJ Wiz, that mix and mastered that for you, Bruce. How you like it, brother?
It was great, great job. Thanks for that that fine editing that you did.
You're welcome, Bruce. You're welcome.
That's that smooth jazz here on the show. Yeah, man. Yeah.
Can I just the part that threw me though was when the mother. Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Was that me?
That's a DJ thing.
Oh, okay.
All right. Doc, you were saying something. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was saying I can definitely appreciate that music is laid back, and you know, the words have meaning, and you know, it's just a nice mix.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy.
Thank you.
Yeah. That's that smooth jazz, y'all, here on the hilltop. So, Bruce, tell us, you know, how you got connected with, I know you told me this story, but everybody out there listening, how did you end up getting connected with Muhammad Ali and, you know, go back and let people know you are a black belt as well. So, you know, let the people know that as well, too. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. A lot of stuff happened along, even though I didn't live anywhere near it. We go back to Branch Avenue in Marlow Heights, and that's where I started taking karate when I was, 16 years old. And that went into boxing, where I had the same boxing coach as Sugar Ray Leonard. And I used to see him every day. And he started calling me Little Ali, you know, not because I was good, but because he said I looked like him.
Mm-hmm.
So I started teaching. I was a karate and boxing instructor for Montgomery County Rec Department. And so then when I got into modeling and acting, I started going again. Back to Branch Avenue. There was a club there, exercise club called Rackets. And I used to go there and practice karate to stay in shape. It's an excellent way to keep your weight down. I should be doing it now. And there was another guy there. We started working out together, and we would spar regularly. I think he was probably a second degree. I was a first degree. And after, I guess, like 3 or 4 meetings, he said, you know, I'm Ali's bodyguard. And I said, okay. He said, you don't believe me. I said, well, what difference does it make if I believe you or not? And he said, no, you don't believe me. His name is Rorisha Burgess. He's a minister, so we call him Rev for short. And so he said, okay, I'll tell you what. Whenever Ali comes to D.C., you're going to help me bodyguard him. And I'm like, okay, sounds good. And I really didn't. And I really didn't believe him. I mean, honestly. So then, you know, Saturday. Huh?
Can I interrupt real quick? This is a very small world. Rorisha Burgess is actually one of my Masonic brothers. He's one of my Masonic brothers.
Exactly, yeah. Right, yeah, he's amazing.
This is
right.
Small world. Well, sorry about that. I just wanted to get that out. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that something? Yeah, and he's a very cool brother, isn't he?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Heart of gold. I haven't seen Rev in a number of years, and I miss him. I touched base with him on the phone, but yeah, we did a number of projects regarding the martial arts. Dennis Brown used to have kung fu tournaments at the D.C. Convention Center, and Rev would get me to work security with him. So I'm like, man, there's guys here that are some of the best martial artists in the world. What am I going to do? If they get mad, what am I going to do?
Right.
but you know your role. So anyway... So I get a call a Saturday morning, and he said, what are you doing? And I said, well, I'm just kind of kicking around. He said, well, we're at the Watergate Hotel. I said, you and who? He said, me and Ali. I said, are you serious? And he said, yeah, come on down. We're in room 222. I still remember the room. And, yeah, man, I got there. It was a suite, more like an apartment. And, he opened the door, and I looked down the corridor, and there was, you know, you could spot Ali a mile away. And he was just there in the easy chair. And, I walked in, and, you know, he was looking at me like, who the heck are you? You know? And so I looked at him, and I said, you know, people tell me I look like you. He was like, y'all, get out of here. Get out of here, man. Get out of here. So that started a relationship for the next, almost 10 years or so.
Mm.
Yeah, because whenever, you know, he would come to New York, I would go see him. You know, actually, I had met Ali twice when I was a teenager, when he fought in the D.C. area, and I even got him to take a picture with my little nephew. So So, you know, Ali was one of my idols growing up. You know, fortunately, I've had a chance to meet most of the people that I looked forward to. I mean, you know, looked up to in my life. And that's you know, I'm like, wow, how did that happen? You know, that I got to do that. And he was one of them. You know, Al Jarreau was another one. Isaac Hayes was another one. So Bill Cosby was the one until I met him. But
he ain't trying to get you going one of the rooms with him, did he? With them girls. No, I'm just messing with you, man.
No, what the fuck?
No, he was just an honorary guy, you know. he even went off on me. On one, you know, I was on a number of shows with him. He went off on me. So I'm not going into detail.
tell listeners about the Ali movie. You know, the movie you were supposed to get this audition for the part, but then they came up and said Will Smith.
Yeah. So as a result of you know, working with Ali and seeing all of the different colors of his personality, he's actually a lot like what you see on TV. I mean, you know, he's quick, he's witty, he's sincere as everything. You know, there's a lot of he was humble, and there was a lot of abuse that he took from the general public that he would just take it. You know, I mean, there was one instance where he was someone asked for an autograph, and he started signing it Muhammad Ali, and they said nope, I want you to sign it Cassius Clay. That's what your mother and father named you, so that's what I want you to sign in Cassius Clay. And I was looking like, whoa, what's he going to do? And he signed in Cassius Clay and gave it to the guy. You know, so,
wow.
I mean, there was another instance where we were in of the Watergate again, and we were in the bar. And the bar hadn't opened, so it was just me, Rev, and Ali, you know, sitting there. And the bartender was in the back, and he had the TV turned real loud so he could hear it in the back where he was working. So there were some patrons who came walking in, and they, you know, could you guys cut that TV down? You know? And so, you know, me and Rev looked at each other like, I know they're not talking to me. And, you know, Ali looked at Rev, he looked at me, and then, you know, he got up, turned the TV down, and sat back down. I was like, wow, you know. So then as we were talking, the people noticed that he was Ali, that the ones that yelled at us to turn it down. So, you know, the guy who yelled came up and said, oh, I didn't know it was you, champ. How you doing? You know, and Ali was like, he just smiled and said, fooled you, didn't I? Fooled you. You know, so he was very, I mean, he just, you know, his humility, you know, he just stayed with it. A lot of the bragging and stuff he did do,
right?
Because he would use his bragging on you to try to he did it to me plenty of times, which is funny. But there was also a part of him that was humble. Okay, well, out of all of that. I was acting at the time, and I was telling other people my experience, and they said, oh, you need to write a movie. And I'm like, well, I don't know what to write it about. And so they said, well, you know, I hear a lot of different things. So I was watching his 50th birthday with, you know, remember little Webster Lewis and stuff like that. And it came to me in a flash. Okay, I got it. I know it. So I wrote a one-man show. I did extensive research. It took me about 2 years to write it. And I performed it off Broadway in a place called Creative Theater, standing ovations, you know, every night that I did it. I got, you know, agents coming there from, you know, it was William Morris. You know, they were there, and he gave me Spike Lee's number to call because he thought that he might be interested in it. And so as a result, I sent stuff to Ali's people in Kentucky. I was dealing with a lady by the name of Dorothy Samuels, and they were interested. Ollie was he wanted to build a museum, so they said, "Well, we can't pay you directly, but why don't you come down and when we have our fundraiser, it was a one man show. You can do the show, and we're going to have people like Billy Crystal and Ted Turner there, and maybe they can sponsor you so you can take your show on the road." Cool, fine. So we were, as I said, going through that for about a year. I get a phone call one morning. Dorothy said, "Look, they're going to make a movie on Ali, and we don't want you to read about it in the newspapers because the press has gotten a hold of it. So we're calling you the day before." And we gave the 20th Century Fox is making it. We gave them your information, you know, as far as, you know, because we know you do a really good job with Ali. We don't think you're going to get it, but we gave them your information anyway. So I said, "Well, why wouldn't I get it?" I said, "I look like them, you know, I can talk like them. I mean, I got standing ovations from them." "Yeah, yeah, we know, but have you heard of a guy named Will Smith?" I'm like, "Yeah, I heard of Will Smith." And that's what you got. Yeah.
Wow.
Who did a pretty good job with it? I don't think that it was probably written correctly to bring out the best of Will Smith, but because it didn't do that well. But you know, they made the choice.
All right.
You know, there was another time, there was a movie called Only in America, right? I don't know if you are familiar with that. And that was about Don King, and they wanted an Ali character in that. And I auditioned for that in the Apollo Theater. And
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and you know, after I auditioned, the casting director said, "We got him." First of all, she said, "Where have you been? We've been looking for months for Ali. Wow, we." And she went out and told that there were people waiting to audition. She said, "Don't take anybody else. We got them. We got them." And so I was like, "Oh, wow, that's a first." So I walked out feeling pretty good. And I said, "The only thing that would stop me from getting this part is politics." And that's pretty much what it came down to. The guy from Family Matters ended up getting that part.
Mm-hmm. Eddie Winslow.
Something like that.
Yeah, Eddie Winslow.
You know the guy I'm talking about? Is that his name?
Eddie Winslow. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And I'm like, man, he don't look anything like Ali, but he had the connections to, you know, to get him the part.
That's how it is. So Bruce, let me ask you this, man. What would you tell, you know, artists that are trying to make that break, whether in the film, you know, music, stage, modeling, you know, and what would be the three things that you would tell them as far as trying to get into those industries, spots, places in the industry?
First, get to know God, because you're going to need that base. You're going to need that compass. You know, you're going to come into many situations where you're going to have to make some decisions that could have a bearing on the rest of your career, how people view you, you know, even what your moral standards are going to be to people in the industry. First, get to know God. Read your Bible. Second, know your purpose. Know your mission. Know your purpose. Because that's going to keep your compass. You know, you're going to have all these outside distractions with just life in general. And when you know your purpose, when you know who you are, it keeps you on the straight. And if things happen where you get thrown off, you know, don't panic. Just keep it in mind, and you'll drift back to it. You know, you'll drift back to it. Third, just be good. You know, I mean, there's a lot of people out there who have made it without being good. But if you're good, you know, learn your craft, be true to your craft. You know, just be as good as you can, and have fun. You know, what I'm doing today, I consider a blessing. I mean, I've wanted to do this all my life, so. So I gave you four.
I'm the first.
The fourth one's free. Huh?
I said, I'm the first to give it to you. First to give it to you, the interview. The music, yeah. So, I appreciate it.
Wait, I missed something. Say that again.
I said, I'm the first to give you your radio interview, right?
Yes, you are. And I said, thank you so very much. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I've had newspaper interviews, but I haven't had any. This is my first live radio. You know, I was kind of nervous starting off.
Nah, man. We good over here, brother. We good. We good. So, Bruce, one more time, man. Let everybody know where they can find you at on the social media outlets.
Well, first, thank you so much. First, it's my website, BruceThomasMusic.com. Give me your information, your email, so I can keep you abreast of what I'm doing. You know, when I'm having any new releases, I have another release for a song probably in the next month and a half called "Work It Out," which is a old school down home funk tune about getting your stuff together and working it out. You know, when you're faced with when you're faced with those obstacles. You can see me also on Facebook. Go ahead and friend me. I have a lot of, or you can like my page, my profile page. You can go to Reverb Nation and also become what they call a fan. And I'll, you know, you down the road, the people that I know that say that they're followers or fans, they'll be getting special breaks that the rest of the people may not get as early. So yeah, let's keep in touch. You know, this has been a heck of a journey for me and anyone who I meet, like you all and the fantastic team you have there. I mean, you become part of that journey.
Doc Honeycutt, any questions you want to ask Bruce?
I would like to ask one question. So, do you think that, you know, a lot of people being, so you talked about, you know, meeting people that, you know, you looked up to, you know, coming along in your walk of being an actor, singer, everything. Do you think it's a lot of politics involved, like a lot of who you know more so, like you said, some people made it and they don't have talent?
Oh, yeah. I mean, when I worked on a soap, I worked on a soap opera called One Life to Live for a number of years. And there were people, you know, on the show that were common. You could see they had no experience. And, you know, and you'd ask them, how did you get that part? And they'd say, oh, the director's my next-door neighbor. I was in one movie called As Good As It, I was in one movie called As Good As It Gets. And mm-hmm. I was on the scene where the guy got beat up. You know, that was the movie with Jack Nicholson. And
mm-hmm.
And Cuba Gooding was a homosexual, you know, the gay guy with his lover that lived beside Jack Nicholson. And I was on the scene where he got beat up. So the other ambulance, we were ambulance or worked for EMT. My partner was a guy His parents, I mean, his father was in the mob, literally. That's how he got in, you know. Mm. So, so yeah, I mean, you meet all different types and different. I mean, everybody. I call it a magic box, you know, because you everybody is just enchanted with TV or the movies. You know, it's just something about that box that everybody gravitates towards, and they want to be part of it. And
okay.
It's fun. It is fun. I mean, it's fun.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Bucket Naked. You got a question?
I'm kind of speechless. I mean, it's just so amazing. I can't believe I'm actually talking to somebody that I've heard and seen on TV and radio everywhere. I'm out of my league.
Go ahead. you're very kind. You're very kind.
We're gonna set you up with an interview with Robin Lynn on Vibe Live, and we're gonna set you up with an interview with Doc Honeycutt on Doc Honeycutt in the morning. Wake up, wake up.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. I'm looking forward to that.
I would be most honored to
go ahead, Doc.
You.
Say how you say it. Wake up, wake up.
Wake up. Everybody, wake up!
All right, honey,
good. Yeah. So we're gonna get you. I'm gonna get you set up.
Thank you so much.
Mama.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
I look forward to that.
Yeah, I'll give Doc and Robin your information, and they'll get in touch with you. DJ Wiz, anything you want to ask, Mr. Thomas? Mm.
No, I'm good. I'm cool. I'm good.
Okay. Debo.
Nice meeting you.
Nice meeting you too, Bruce.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good as well.
Oh, thank you.
All right. Well, Bruce, man, again, man, you know I'm going to be in touch with you. Some stuff that I got going on and, you know, and ask you to be a part of it. And especially the sitcom that I'm working on for 2022.
Wonderful.
And I'm going to make sure that these beautiful ladies get your information and get you set up with them as well on their shows.
Wonderful. Well, I just have to, you know, thank you once again so much. You know, I really appreciate your having me, you know, on your show. It's been a lot of fun. And yeah, I'm looking forward to what lies in the future.
Yes, sir.
Thank you so much.
Well, man, again, thank you. We appreciate you. And, I'll be talking to you tomorrow anyway.
And
Doc has your information. And Rob has your information as well. So I love you, brother. Love you, cuz.
Love you too, my man.
And we'll be talking.
All right, thank you all so very much. You all have a wonderful evening. It was nice meeting you all.
You as well. Thank you.
You too.
Thanks.
All right, we'll be right back after this commercial here on Plug.
When it's time to unwind from a long day, to improve it, stop by Taj Essentials, 3124 Eastway Drive, Charlotte. Taj Essentials offers natural products that are vital to improve your life. So stop by or give them a call at 980-819-7463. Open Monday through Saturday. That's 980-819-7463. Taj Essentials, helping you improve you.
All right, welcome back to the show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Doc, let everybody know where they can follow you at on the social media.
Follow me on Doc Honeycutt Enterprises on IG and Doc Honeycutt on Facebook. Follow me, y'all.
All right. DJ Wiz, where can they follow you at on the social media, brother?
You can follow me on Facebook under Steve Gustus, G-U-S-T-U-S. You also can follow me on Instagram, hashtag Steve Gustus. And you can follow me on Facebook under World Play DJs, under DJ Wiz.
DJ Debo, where can I follow you at, brother?
Follow me on Facebook at Debo Taylor L, that's D-E-B-O. TAYLOR-EL. Also, Debo Taylor L, LinkedIn. Debo the Pro, that's DEDOEAPRO, That's an IG.
Okay.
That's it.
Robin must be busy because I hear her music. To get her information. All right, y'all. This has been another exciting show here on the Hilltop Radio Show, The Plug. Next Thursday night here on the Hilltop Radio Show. Next Wednesday night on Hilltop Radio Show will be JoJo of Mary Jane Girls is on Thursday night. Next Wednesday night is JoJo. Next Thursday night we got Rusty Allen, bass player from a legendary group, Sly and the Family Stone. He's going to be with us next Thursday night, and then next Friday, Sherry Cher of the Mercedes Ladies is going to be with us here on the Hilltop Radio Show. Still got a lot more artists to bring, and still working behind the scenes on dates and going over dates and stuff with the managers and with them, and you know, a lot of groups are back performing, and so that's a good thing, but not everybody wants to get, you know, a lot of cities and states is still in the pandemic. I know down here in Charlotte, Doc is crazy as hell, right?
It's crazy as hell, absolutely.
It's crazy as hell.
Yeah.
And, you know, you guys keep Doc's family, I hope she don't mind me saying this, keep Doc's family in y'all's prayers. You know, we had a crazy shooting over a week ago at the Juneteenth. they had a Juneteenth block party on the west side of town, and one of her family members was killed, shot and killed. And so you guys keep your family in y'all's prayers. You know what I'm saying? Please do that.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Doc, I sent you a friend request.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
Let me check it out.
She might not have room. No, I'll just play
it. Yeah, you might be right.
I'll make room. You both have
room? Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Gotcha.
Robin Lynn, go ahead and let everybody know where they can follow you at on the social media.
Okay, you can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Periscope, LinkedIn at Robin Lynn Maben. And that's Maben, you spell it like cabin, but it's with an M. Okay, and then you can find me at Vibes Live Radio. You can find me at the Entertainment Directory site, imstreaming.org, and here every day because Sean makes me.
Mm-hmm. Bucket Naked.
As soon as bucketnaked.net.
<Yep. laughs> No, .gov. That's a .gov.
Yeah, .gov.
Okay.
That's a dot gov.
Y'all gonna have
to get on that one.
We say dot.
Buck a naked. Her phone, her inbox is gonna be off the chain in a minute.
That's right. You can get a bucket naked shot for $69.95. Cash app.
$69.95, okay.
Send that cash app over here.
I know that's right, because everybody getting a cut. Everybody getting a cut.
Oh, man. Sunday morning was Doc Honeycutt and DJ Wiz. Doc, who you have Sunday morning on your show?
This Sunday morning, I actually have a councilman, Councilman William Roddy from South Carolina, and we just talked about everything that's going on, you know, like we've been talking about for the last few weeks, and, you know, what we can do to you know, do our part. So it's a really good show.
All right. All right. So, again, make sure you guys go back and check out Wednesday night's show. It's off the chain. We had a lot of people hit me up and was like, we listened to the show and y'all are crazy. And, you know, you hit on key points and things like that. And a lot of the girls said they're going to start making sure that their men don't be faking.
They get ready to check.
Let me check that dickhead. Is it wet?
It's all in fun, though.
Let me squeeze it, see, and pull up on it.
Kind of hard to take that one, boys.
But
I'm gonna put a gat to your head, and you're like, "No, you better not be big. I'm gonna put a gun to your head."
Oh, damn!
Don't get Buckanet started. Don't get her started.
Don't get me started.
All right. We're gonna change subject.
You know, I was early, y'all.
We're gonna
get type of way, Robin Lynn.
I was hot last night.
Oh man, y'all crazy. Well, I know we're gonna get off out of here early tonight, you guys. I appreciate you guys for taking time out of your schedule and being on the show. You know, without you guys, Hilltop wouldn't be rolling like it's rolling. Got a lot of work to do and catch up on some things. I want to thank Robin Lynn. I want to thank Doc. I want to thank DJ Wiz, DJ Debo, guys always taking time again and being here and making this show what it is on Thursday nights, the Plug Documentary Radio Show. I also want to thank everybody that tuned in and listened to Bruce Thomas and his story. Industry and all that he's accomplished and still accomplishing till this day. And family's got to support family, so that's one of the reasons why he was on here. It's not enough love in today's world, especially with family, recognizing family here. So we recognize family because everybody here is family. So
right,
absolutely. You get that email.
Yes, sir. I got it today. So tomorrow is Friday. Don't forget Black Friday here on the show. We got a talented young lady from out of Brooklyn, New York, is going to be with us. She's got a song that's going crazy, and a lot of the old school hip hop artists are really picking up on it, and it's trending all the way down to Florida. A lot of people is really making her song a hit. Jadakiss just had it on his network yesterday on IG, and out of 1,500 people, she ended up with 100% with that doing the whole night, voting thing. Not one person turned it down, or one person said it needed work, and not one person said trash. It was all fire. So she'll be on with us. And she's a descent from Trinidad. So she'll be on with us tomorrow night here on Black Friday, talking about her song. That's right. So on behalf of DJ Sean, the Plug Documentary Radio Show, you guys, everybody have a good night, and catch you all tomorrow, 9 p.m.
Good night, everybody. Good night.
All right. Night. Later, y'all.
All right. All right. Let's see here. Going on out on – where's my phone? Oh, well. All right, you guys have a good night.
Word.